Hey friends, we all know that this time of year can be a little extra busy. The days are shorter, but we always have so much to do to fit into 24 hours. So power through your busy days with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. From breakfast to dinner and anything in between, Factor has easy, nutritious options to keep you fueled and feeling your best. Whether you like routine or enjoy mixing things up, Factor has you covered with 35 different delicious meals every week and over 60 additional convenience options you can add to your box, like keto cookies, pressed juices, and smoothies. Don't let these shorter days slow you down. Stay energized with America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service. I love Factor so much because it lets you do you. Choose from six menu preferences to help you manage calories, maximize protein intake, avoid meat, or simply eat well-balanced. Because Factor's meals are chef-prepared and dietitian-approved, you're going to love not only how Factor's meals taste, but also how they support your goals. So head to factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50 and use code barbknowsbest50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next month. That's barbknowsbest50 at factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
There is a reason why so many of us do suppress what we're feeling or feel like we're not allowed to feel what we're feeling or have the shame around it. Like, it's not just how we are. It's how we've been bred and taught to be.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, and I am sitting here with my mother, Barb, and we're super excited to be talking with you all this week about life's most important and meaningful topics. As always, hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you doing today?
I am feeling really good today, and I'm glad to be sitting here across the table from you.
You know, I asked you how you're doing today. And you said you're feeling pretty good. And that was a hidden Easter egg of today's topic, because today we're going to be talking about feelings.
So funny, though. I said feeling pretty good. And
that's not
actually a feeling. It's actually a state of being, maybe. But
and also kind of what we're going to be talking about, how we bypass feelings when we're asked those questions.
Yes.
Because I don't actually think that you are feeling pretty good.
Well, I'm feeling, it's interesting because as we're approaching, you know, this new day, I always wake up, you know, thank you for the gift of this new day. But you know what, on top, underneath the thank you for the gift of this new day, it is always how I start my day. We do always have a lot of feelings and sometimes it's not easy to identify them. So I think for me, when I say feeling pretty good, I'm probably still in the process, because we're recording this in the morning. I'm still in the process of identifying exactly how I'm feeling. Yeah. So I'm excited that we're going to talk about feelings. Mm-hmm. I know we launched the merchandise, a month or so ago on feeling your feelings, because I think it's really been up for us. We've done a really good amount of time personally talking about our feelings and what's happening and how we doing. And especially, you know, as we move through 2024. And I just think that that's really up for a lot of people, but we don't talk about it enough. So I'm really thrilled that we're talking about it today.
Oh, me too. I know we've talked about feelings a decent amount on the show and in social media and in our work, but I think today it would be great to dive into maybe destigmatizing or breaking down some of the shame we have about
our feelings or even the resistance that we have to the feelings that we're feeling. And not like I'm calling you out, Mom, but in this most recent interaction, you know, I asked you how you're doing and you said pretty good. It's so common for us to just have that autoresponder of I'm good when people ask us how we're feeling. And I know sometimes like in, you know, quick interactions, you're not going to, you know, dive into your deepest, darkest feelings to a stranger, you know, but it's our nature to kind of muddle or bypass how we're actually feeling to just be able to say, I'm good and keep things status quo without actually tapping into what's actually going on for us. And there's probably a lot of reasons for that, but I think a lot of us have guilt or shame or fear about what we're actually feeling. And so I think today it would be great to talk about the feelings that we have about our feelings.
I also think that's really well said, Michelle, but I also would like to add that on top of guilt, shame, and all the things that you just mentioned, I think a lot of times we aren't quite sure how we're feeling, and the fear of it interrupting our day or interrupting our lives or even wanting to delve into it keeps us from doing it. We kind of block it. You know, like I said, I'm pretty good. I am a person who really values and spends an inordinate amount of time looking at my feelings and wanting to let them move through me. And we'll talk about that more today. As you said, we've talked about that on the show before. But I'm also someone who recognizes I'm not quite sure how I'm feeling. I don't even know if I can identify it in this moment. I will come back to it because I know it's important. So it's kind of interesting. Sometimes we're just not in the mood or we're not ready to even delve into that, because I can feel right now for me today, delving into how I'm feeling is going to be a process. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a one and done. Oh, I'm feeling scared today. Oh, what are you feeling scared about, Barb? You know, that kind of thing. And I've had that happen to me before. I can name the fear, or I can name the irritation, or I can name the overwhelm and then move on, because I believe strongly once I name it, it kind of moves through me and I can move on. Where in some instances, the naming it can go down a deeper path of something that may have been sitting for a while or something that's up that actually needs to have more attention than just a couple minute naming it to let it move through me. So as you say always on this show about life in general, mm-hmm. it's layered. There are so many layers to feeling. So I think it's why I'm looking forward to talking about this, because I believe that if we don't feel our feelings and have the ability to be able to name them and know that we can handle whatever is coming our way, we just need to be able to take the time and be patient and be loving and caring with ourselves. I think it ends up causing a lot of damage, not only physically to our bodies and things like that, but emotionally. The feeling gets out of hand and it gets to a place where it keeps us really from functioning the way that we'd like to be moving through our lives.
For sure. But I think it's important to talk about why, you know, where did it even come from that we would ever be a society or a culture or people that feel a certain way about their feelings?
I think
especially as women or young girls, like I remember being taught or told somewhere along the line that, like, you know, girls aren't, you know, shouldn't be angry, or, you know, girls need to be nice and accommodating or appeasing to other people, or, you know, it's not ladylike to act out on X, Y, or Z feelings. And so, you know, I think there's that societal input or pressure that we're taught along the way that there are good feelings and there are bad feelings, and there are feelings that we're allowed to feel and that we're not allowed to feel, or that it's unbecoming for some of us to feel those feelings. And so I think it's just important that we acknowledge that there is a reason why so many of us do suppress what we're feeling, or feel like we're not allowed to feel what we're feeling, or have the shame around it. Like, it's not just how we are, it's how we've been bred and taught to be.
I couldn't agree with you more, Michelle, because when I think back on, it's really interesting to me when I think back on you feeling this way, when you were a little girl, like you were probably 3, maybe 4 years old, but I think 3 years old, I hung a poster in your room, a felt poster.
I do think we have that somewhere in storage.
We do. I'm sure
we'll have
we
to
saved
try and
it.
Find it.
I hung a felt poster that I had bought at a craft store, like a fair, one of those craft fairs.
This was peak 80s. So you have to imagine what, you can imagine what it looks like.
Well, this was 1988.
I know, peak and 80s.
Exactly. This was 1988. I went into treatment, as all of you know who listen to the show, for bulimia in 1984. And when I got out of treatment, it was treatment that opened me up to the idea that, oh my gosh, I had so many feelings and that all of my pent up feelings and emotions and traumas, gosh, I can hardly speak. I'm like really hyped up, were based on feelings that had been buried inside of me for, well, I was 28 years old when I went into treatment. So I realized how important. I walked out of that treatment center 6 weeks later in 1984, realizing how important it was for me to feel my feelings, because they really, in many aspects, led to a lot of my issues in life and my bulimia and just a lot of things. I had so many feelings inside, and a lot of them were anger, you know, bred by so much trauma that I had endured as a child. So I got out of treatment and had you in 1985, and then bought this felt poster at a craft fair in 1988, knowing that feeling your feelings and identifying how you were feeling. So what I taught you as a little girl at 3 years old was you would wake up in the morning and that felt poster would be hanging on your wall. And I would ask you, how are you feeling today, Michelle?
Yep.
And I think there were maybe 12 yep. different faces, cute little round faces. You know, one
like
with
smiley, well, not smiley. Not
a smiley face, a frowny face, yeah. a scared face, a
like emojis today.
Exactly. It was a felt emoji.
Felt emojis.
Exactly. And you would say, you know, I'm feeling this or I'm feeling that. So it's interesting. I love what you said, that we are taught. So you were taught at 3 and 4 years old to feel your feelings and wake up every morning and identify how you were feeling. But then as you proceeded in life, as you just said, you then learned, you know, wait a minute, feelings are not always meant to be shared. I have to be a nice girl, or it's not appropriate, or it's not okay, or it's too aggressive. Or it's not nice enough for all the things. So you...
Or, you know, people won't want to be your friend if exactly. you're this way. Or men won't want to date you if you're too this way or express this emotion. Like, all of those internal thoughts and judgments about how your life will unfold if you actually allow yourself to express or feel certain emotions, I think goes through a lot of our minds.
That's exactly. But it's so fascinating to me that you unlearned what you learned at 3 and 4 years old. As an adult or as
now we're learning
as a
again.
Teenager, and we're never too old to learn. And that's why I love so much. I think, you know, for me, what has been one of the most critical parts of feelings and talking about feelings and what are feelings, what has helped me so much in the work that you and I do, but also helped me in my own life, is that to understand that feelings aren't facts, but they are real. And I think you wrote about this in one of your blogs, I think, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. Feelings aren't facts. They're not facts. They're not, this is the fact. This is what I'm feeling and it's real. And that they don't last. They're impermanent. And that's why they're not facts. It's not something that stays forever. Oh my gosh, this is a fact. So this is what I am. I'm just a scared little girl.
Right.
Or I need to be a nice little girl, so I'm not going to be aggressive. Feelings are not facts, but they are real.
Right.
And the moment that they're identified and the moment that they're acknowledged, they dissipate. We can feel a relief.
Or you can pick apart what is real and what's not. You know, a feeling could have you thinking that everyone in this world hates you because you suck, which is not true, but you having that experience and that feeling is real. Like, you can't discount. You want to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say something. This is a perfect example that to me, everyone in the world hates me, or whatever it was you just said. To me, that's not a feeling. That's the feeling
it's a thought that comes from a feeling.
Right. And then we need to go deeper. The feeling is I'm inadequate.
Right.
I'm not good enough. I don't meet the standard, or it's those things. And I think that that's where we get mixed up with feelings.
Well, I think you can have a, I'm not good enough. Everyone hates me, but you could, that's where you have to identify that it's not true.
And that's where you have to identify that it's not, that's not the feeling. It's the unworthiness that you're feeling that led to the fact that you think everyone hates me.
Right. But you have to pick apart.
Yeah.
Well, you have to start from where it's coming from and work your way down.
Exactly. So you don't just land on everyone hates me and that perception of what you think is real, because that is not real, that everyone hates you. What's real is, what is it that's causing me to feel like everyone hates me? I'm unworthy, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I didn't answer a question. It's like understanding what is the deep-seated thing that you're feeling about yourself. And I think that's where you get trapped. And I don't know if this is making any sense, because I see your face a little bit interesting too. We get trapped into thinking that other people say or do, or the perceptions that we think that other people have, is a fact, is real. And that's not what's real. Most of the time, what's real is my own perception and interpretation of myself. I'm afraid that they don't like me. And so, or I'm afraid this, or I'm angry about this because someone hurt my feelings, but I can't say anything because then they're not going to like me. All the things that we wrap around the feeling, and then we don't actually live our lives, or we don't actually own what we're feeling, because there's something behind it that we feel that we can't. I don't know if that makes any sense. For me, that's how I've digested feelings. And then the other piece is that idea that it's going to last forever. I can't change it. It's permanent. They don't like me. I'm inadequate. I'm unworthy. And that's just the way that it is. And that's just not true. That's what I mean by a feeling is not a fact. It's just not true.
Right. But it is true that you're having an experience of the feeling.
Yes.
And I think that's the tricky distinction of not wanting to be promoting like bypassing. Cause I think a lot of us in the self-helper personal development sphere has also been taught to, like, you know, good vibes only, think positively only. You know, I don't want to manifest bad things into my life, so I'm only going to, be in the good vibes.
Agreed completely.
And so it's important to, we all agree that the practice of mindfulness is conscientiously choosing your thoughts over another, which is where we really gain our power in an often powerless world. And so identifying your thoughts and saying, oh, I don't necessarily want to feed into that kind of thinking, and I want to feed a more positive outlook, is a powerful practice. But life will present opportunities and circumstances where we're going to have complicated and often uncomfortable feelings. And that's part of the human existence. And so it's not our job to try and push it away or act as if those uncomfortable feelings aren't happening, but rather acknowledging them, feeling them, and then not letting them, to use your words, Mom, like, name who we are or define who we are or perpetuate our viewpoints of the world or our lives. And so it is that tricky distinction of acknowledging that it's real, but that it's not your definer in life. And it's not speaking to some sort of judgment of who you are as a person because you're having that feeling.
Michelle, and if everyone listening right now could see me right now, I am snapping my fingers and clapping. That was genius. That was genius. If you were standing on a stage saying all of that, we would all be standing up in ovation. No, because you just said it beautifully. And I would add to this, and you wrote this. I've got some of the things that you've written over the past, 15 years in your blogs and all the things that you've written. Emotions aren't something to be fixed. They're something to be felt. And I think it speaks to what you just said. We are not supposed to fix ourselves for feeling what we're feeling. We're supposed to feel the feelings and then identify what they are, and then not let it name who we are and not let it define who we are, and not use them as facts, but use them as feelings to go a little bit deeper and say, what's happening for me right now?
Yeah.
I've said this so much on the show. I always ask myself, what's happening for you right now, Barb? What are you feeling? What is going on with you? And oftentimes when I'm in a place where I'm not quite sure, it's usually I'm sad Or usually I'm a little overwhelmed and I need to sort out why am I overwhelmed? What is causing me to feel overwhelmed? Maybe it's my schedule. Maybe it's I've planned too much for the day. Because that's why it's important to feel the feelings. Because sometimes it's something as simple as, Barb, you have too many things on your plate today and you're feeling pressure. Can you take one of them off? Because oftentimes it's not a great big momentous deal that has to happen with how we're feeling. It's just that we need to acknowledge it. Yeah. And I think that that's where we really miss the boat, so to speak, in life. If we would just take the moment and say, what's happening for me right now in this moment? What am I feeling that's causing me to feel like I'm out of sorts? I was driving today this morning and I knew that I was out of sorts. I went to get you your coffee and I just was having trouble focusing. I was feeling a lot of anxiety, which is not a feeling that I feel often. And so it was just a very odd space for me to feel this morning. But it's important for me to feel it because it can go down a place where a lot of the things that come up aren't necessarily true because I'm writing stories about what's happening in the external world for me instead of going deep in and figuring out what is happening today. Mm-hmm. And it was the simple thing mostly today when I said I'm feeling pretty good. Mostly I was feeling like I have a lot on my plate today. And I'm leaving town tomorrow morning early. And so I was feeling the pressure of a lot on my plate. So I canceled one thing this afternoon. So when I said pretty good, I'm starting to feel a little bit of relief. And I think we just have to give ourselves, that's why I love what you just said, Michelle, give ourselves permission to take care of ourselves. If you're overwhelmed, what's causing it? Can you change something? Mm-hmm. If you're scared, what's causing it? Can you do something? And I can't acknowledge enough how important it is just to name it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we're having this conversation today together, Michelle, which we hadn't really talked in the morning beforehand, and with all of you listening, is the greatest blessing I could have right now.
Yeah.
I get this space to talk about my feelings. And hopefully, with Michelle and I sharing our feelings and our thoughts, you start to get the feeling that you have permission and you owe it to yourself to feel what you're feeling in any moment, especially if it starts to stop you in your tracks.
Well, yeah. And like you always say, we can become the scientists of our own lives. And so using our feelings as, you know, clues or data of our lives and, you know, a scientist wouldn't ignore important data when they're doing a study. They would incorporate it into their findings. And I think that's what we have to do, or that's how we have to view our feelings. Our feelings are telling us something about what's going on in our inner world and our outer world. And if we ignore it, you know, we're going to bypass that important information of, like you said, what can I do to act on this to alleviate these feelings or to process these feelings or to try to not perpetuate the feelings that are uncomfortable.
Or to put them in perspective of what's actually happening.
You have to take them into consideration and also being so in touch with your feelings to know your own patterns and cycles and rhythms of life. You know, we all have those periods where we feel sad, or, you know, even with daylight savings time where it gets darker earlier, it's, you know, the sad season where, you know, the sun sets at 5 o'clock and we know that. So it's like, okay, I'm not going to be alarmist if I start to feel a little down during this time of year because it's the season. Getting to know those patterns of yourself so well to know that if like something is off, you can do something about it. And I think about this often, you know, a few years ago, and I think we've talked about this on the show, where it was Christmas time, and Christmas is like my favorite time of year. I live for it, always so happy, where it was Christmas and I just could not get into it. I was not happy. None of the usual stuff was working for me or lifting my spirits. And I just was in a very down space where no matter what tools I used or any of my practices, like the light was just not at the end of the tunnel. And I'm like, this is not normal for me. you know, I can have my sad times or my down times, but like, this is just a little extra and a little, not concerning, I guess, because it just wasn't me. And I knew myself well enough to know that that wasn't me. And that's when I decided I needed to, like, you know, seek out external help of a psychiatrist and medication, you know, like, because I knew my feelings enough to know that, like, those lingering feelings, despite all of my meditation and mindfulness and, you know, awareness and thinking, wasn't working. And I think that's where we also gain our power of knowing, like, okay, I'm doing everything I can and something still feels off. Like, I know I can also take additional actions to seek additional help.
So brave, Michelle. I'm so happy that you share that, because I remember that time like it was yesterday, and I remember how you were feeling, and I wasn't worried about you, but I was so proud of you, actually, because you were being the scientist of your own life. You knew, and you kept saying to me, Mom, something's not quite right with me. Something's going on inside of me, blah, blah, all the things that you just said. And I remember thinking, this is so beautiful. This is so amazing. Because when we actually take our power back, which is what you did, why I wasn't scared, why I didn't say, oh my gosh, Michelle, why I didn't give you 500 things that I thought you needed to do. For, you know, I wasn't giving you all the...
You weren't peaceful barbing me?
No, I wasn't peaceful barbing you. I let you just be and let you be your own scientist, because that is the most important thing that we can do in our lives. I'm feeling so strongly today about this. I have so many goosebumps going on inside of me today. Because it just feels like, why do we not feel like we have the right to be the human being, the extraordinary human being that we are? Why do we not feel like we have the right to be who we are? We have the right to express our feelings in the most effective, mindful way that we're not harming other people. We have all the rights. Why do we think other people are more important than we are? I'm so passionate about that today. And I think part of, you know, maybe part of it's just how life is unfolding in 2024 and we're going into 2025 and all the things. It just feels to me so much like we have to be able to own and love and respect and care for ourselves. If there's any other intention that we set for 2025 as a collective people, as collective humans, as humanity, that we allow ourselves to be exactly who we are and really start to become who we desire to be. And I think for me, it starts with allowing myself to feel what I'm feeling, to feel if I'm being taken advantage of, and what is that meaning for me right now? To feel like someone has drastically hurt my feelings, but I feel like I can't speak about it. Or to feel like I don't know what's happening in this moment, but things are not the way that I feel they need to be. I'm out of sorts, like you just defined that one Christmas. Like, being okay with that. We don't have to step up and just be that person that doesn't have feelings and just keep moving forward with like life. We have to take a pause. We, you know, our feelings are meant to be felt. And I think you wrote this, Michelle. I really did a deep dive in preparing for all the
you
things.
You always do.
Because you've done a lot of writing and a lot of speaking on feelings. And, you know, when we think about if we don't acknowledge the feelings, they're going to scream at us. But you also wrote, and I've talked about this a lot in the work that I've done myself and together collectively with you, they are the most important barometers that we have in life. They are everything. If we don't acknowledge how we're feeling, we are missing out, and I'm quoting you, on incredibly useful information on how we can proceed moment to moment in the life that we're trying to live moment to moment. Mm. And I'm so like off the charts passionate right now about, we have to get this. So this is 2025, everyone. This is what we need to do. This is the most important thing we can do in our lives.
2025, the year of feeling our feelings and not feeling bad about it.
Yes. And I'm sure that's why a month or two ago we launched those t-shirts, Feel Your Feelings.
Yep.
And I think we should, I know we're still doing that, but if you buy a t-shirt, Feel Your Feelings, and you put a picture on social media, we're going to post it for you. We're going to redo it. No, because I think it's so important, because all the money from these t-shirts goes back into all the programming that you and I do, you know, now and in 2025, helping people. And this particular program is going to be about helping you feel your feelings, How can you actually live the most important life that you came here to live? And I think it's uncomfortable. I was trying to think of earlier today, why is it that sometimes we can't? We say, oh, I'm fine, or I'm feeling good. It's uncomfortable. Do we like to feel uncomfortable? Probably not.
No.
Do we want to face things? Tend to ignore it, right? Tend to push things aside, even if it's someone that's harmed us. Okay, I don't want to feel that. I don't know what I'm going to do about it, but I'm going to stew about it and get really, really angry about it. And I'm not saying that we can't, you know, I feel like I'm in a space right now where I'm really upset about a couple particular things. But I'm not ready. I need to go through the process of feeling the feelings, which may take some time. So I'm saying all of this, like we have to have the utmost patience as well with ourselves and trusting that we will come to the place where we need to come and we will have the answers that we need to have in order to move forward with how we desire to express our feelings in a meaningful and, as you said, Michelle, very mindful, productive, wholesome way, really.
Mm-hmm.
Wholesome to me means doing it the best way that I can in a way that's going to benefit me and the whole.
Mm-hmm. Hey, friends. Do you ever feel like you're just too busy to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. No more planning, no more stressing about nutrition, no more shopping. Every Sunbasket meal is designed by dietitians and chefs to be healthy, nourishing, and delicious, with none of the hassle. You can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy recipes each week with dietary options like Mediterranean, vegetarian, carb conscious, and even gluten-free dishes, all featuring organic fresh produce. There are truly options for everyone. Plus, you don't have to lock in one type of meal plan. Pick and choose what you're in the mood for every single week. They even have pre-made meal options as well that are just as tasty and ready in just 5 minutes or less. Sunbasket takes care of all the hard parts of healthy eating and delivers right to your door. All you need to do is follow the easy step-by-step recipes, dig in, and enjoy the benefits of eating your best. Go to sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest to save $120 across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Yeah, and I think it has, there's something about what you're saying with even what you said at the beginning of the show of like, you know, you have a lot of complicated feelings that are going on for you right now and you're bearing witness to them, but you know that you need the space to actually process them. And so I think that's kind of how we can be like responsible with our feelings, you know, not
love it
being, you know, having that like pressure buildup of all of the feelings and then, you know, going into the grocery store and, you know, unloading on like the checkout person. Like, I don't think that's not really the point, or that doesn't really benefit anyone. It's being responsible for our feelings and having the self-awareness to tap into what's going on for us and then saying, okay, like I need some space later today to unpack, you know, what's going on for me or why I'm feeling this way, or try and create a plan to take action on some of these things that are bothering me, or, you know, talking to a therapist or a close friend or family member that will be supportive, like giving yourself the space to actually unpack it in a way that's not going to like trauma dump on someone else and then, you know, spread the dysfunctional relationship that we have with our feelings.
Love that. I mean, kind of like what road rage can do.
Yeah. And I think we're all, you know, we're living in some interesting times with a lot of complex emotions. I mean, I guess we have been for years and years and years, but we see a lot of people expressing their emotions in fits of rage or just without that discernment or care about how the expression of our feelings will actually impact other people. And I think that's the other important distinction to have, to be mindful of how we express our feelings and how that impacts the people around us.
I love it.
Because yeah, anger is a valid feeling. A lot of people are very angry right now. A lot of people feel a lot of rage, and those feelings deserve to be felt and should be felt and are valid reactions to a lot of things that are happening in the world. However, like, I don't think it's beneficial to suppress the rage and then rage on someone, you know, who doesn't go when the light turns green immediately and honk your horn and get into like, you know, a fight with someone on the road. That doesn't help me. I know like my rage or my anger is best felt when I can go in the car and like scream my head off in with no one else around and no one else can hear me, where it's not impacting someone else in a negative way. And I think that's sometimes too, where we tend to be a little, what's the word? Not selfish with our emotions. I can't, it's lost me now, but that's where we tend to feel so entitled to feeling our feelings, but then not thinking about how our action of feeling our feelings will then impact somebody else.
Well, because I think, Michelle,
like someone else doesn't deserve to feel your rage just because you're in the sake of feeling your feelings in like a cruel or unfair kind of way.
Well, because I think it's what we were talking about earlier, is that you're not actually you're feeling your feelings, but you're not actually then going to the next step of what's happening for me in this moment that I'm feeling this way. So we're not actually getting down to, if we're acting only on the anger and the rage, like you're talking about, we're not actually feeling the feeling. We're acting on the feeling of the rage. We're not actually knowing what's happening for us. We're not actually understanding necessarily what's happening for us. Because I believe so strongly that when we actually stop for a second, we have to pause. When you're feeling any kind of an emotion, but especially rage or anger, you have to pause. You have to say, wait a minute. What's happening right now? What am I so enraged about? And why do I feel like I want to lash out at someone else if that's what's happening?
Why do you feel entitled to do to that? Lash exactly. out on someone else?
Exactly.
It's our right to feel our feelings, but it's not our right to take out our feelings on someone else.
Exactly. It's just not okay. But I don't believe that that's actually the whole process of feeling your feelings and being the scientist of your own life and trying to sort out what is actually causing me to feel this way and what can I do about it? Because I'd like to comment a little bit too, Michelle, on dispelling that notion that if you're a spiritual, peaceful, loving, kind person, you don't get angry. You yeah. don't feel rage.
Well,
you don't feel all of those things. And I know I'm saying, and then I'll let you just
comment here.
No, it's fine. I just want to, you know, my handle is Peaceful Barb, and that was given to me by a dear, dear friend, you know, a long time ago before when social media came onto the scene, because she felt that I had this peacefulness about me. But what I want people to understand, it's not because I don't ever feel anger or rage. And when I say that to people, or when I've done a workshop before and talk about feelings, they're kind of shocked. Oh my gosh, you feel rage? Of course I do. You feel anger? Of course I do. you feel irritation? Of course I do. I'm a human being. So it doesn't mean because my handle or my name on social media is Peaceful Barb that I never get angry. I believe the most passionate, most constructive way that we as human beings can live our lives is to feel when you have certain rage and passion, it means that it's somehow stoking something inside of you that matters very deeply to you. And if you can really be that scientist and go deep within, you will uncover what is the most important work that you feel like you need to do as a human on this planet. And so for me, when I went deep into it, I realized that civil rights, social rights, all the rights of all of us becoming the greatest version of a human being that we can be is everyone's birthright. And so it became very apparent to me that the peaceful Barb in me wants all beings to live the extraordinary life that they came here to live, that all beings be shared and have all of the same, all the things that all the people, I'm losing kind of my train of thought because I feel like I'm becoming overwhelmed with the passion that we are human beings and we are all created equal and created in a way that we must be allowed to live the life that we came here to live without harming others. Mm-hmm. So that was my passion. And I learned that early on in my life. And it's why I'm so passionate about helping all people realize their dreams and realize who they are is what matters most. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to live your life feeling like you can't be who you are and you can't have all the love and the greatness that you desire for your life. And I think why I feel all the feelings today in this latter part of 2024 and the idea of moving into 2025 is I have discovered in me also, I am so passionate about not having unfinished business in life.
Yeah.
Like really going deep into, okay, what is it that I need to resolve? And it's kind of like a New Year's resolution type of a feeling. And it's kind of like a let's end the year not having anything dangling. But more importantly, it's kind of like, what is it inside of me that still causes me to feel a little bit overwhelmed or still causes me to feel a little bit of anger or resentment or irritability? Is there a relationship in my life that I need to address in, as you said, Michelle, in the most loving, kind, prosperous way that's going to be wholesome for all of us? So what has helped me the most, again, is you, Michelle, when you talk a lot about timelines. In the early days of me discovering that I do not like unfinished business, I want to feel the feelings and get through it. I also realized that I can't just put some arbitrary timeline on it. I can't just say, okay, 2024 is coming to an end. It has to be done no matter what. Mm-hmm. I was putting a lot of pressure on myself in the olden days.
You do that, yeah.
And I've let that go because you have spent an enormous amount of time in your work talking about trust the timing of your life. Everyone's timeline is different.
It is tough.
Be patient with your own timeline. So I feel like I could keep talking for hours on this topic because it really is something that's very passionate for me and up for me in life, but also right now. And so I don't want to keep going and going.
No, it's good.
But I just feel so strongly that emotions are meant to be felt and we have to figure out what's happening for us. And so if I could share anything, every morning, wake up and ask yourself how you're feeling. You know, I start with a thank you for the gift of this new day. But then I say, how are you feeling today, Barb? And really just understand that they're just, your feelings are meant to be felt. And sometimes it's just simple as saying, you know, I'm feeling a little bit anxious right now. And I think it might just be, I'm nervous about going to the dentist. I mean, sometimes it's that simple.
Right.
I don't know what the dentist is going to say because their tooth is hurting a little bit. Like it's having that whole dialogue with yourself is so helpful.
It is so helpful. And I think too, you know, we've talked a lot about the female experience of emotions and feelings and what we've been taught. But there's also the flip side of the male experience with emotions. And although we can't speak directly to it because we're not men, you know, they're also taught, you know, boys don't cry. Mm-hmm. Boys don't, you know, have fear, you know, be fearless, a fearless male, or any of those kinds of emotions that are considered or viewed as like weaknesses or, you know, even worse, which is crazy to think that this is like our society, like, oh, those are girly feelings. Like, oh, you can't be afraid because that's too girly. any of that, those kinds of judgments about feelings that, you know, the other half of the population also feels. It's important for men to also feel, given the permission to feel those feelings as well, because I think we've been seeing a lot of the repercussions lately in our society of what happens when we don't allow the male population to have the freedom to feel those feelings. Those get suppressed and come out a lot of wild and crazy ways. And so it's also on all of us to start to break down these societal stigmas of like, boys feel this way, girls feel that way, and anything else is unacceptable. No, we're human beings with human experiences and complicated emotions, and we're allowed to, and it's our human right to experience those feelings.
And isn't it just crazy? I'm so amped up. I love all you so much. Thank you for indulging this whole platform that Michelle and I have the privilege of having. Who wrote that rule? Who is not really the question that I'm, why do we as people, as humans believe it?
Or why do we care?
Why do we take things in as facts? That's why we take things in as facts that aren't facts, that aren't real. Like, who wrote the rules? I remember one of our dear friends,
Tara Stiles,
who we love so much. She wrote a whole book on that, I think the title was, but I know the whole essence of it. You know, who wrote the rules that we live by? Who made the rules that we live by? So it really is, you're the scientists of your life. Start questioning these rules, and do they fit for you? You know, I'm not saying you have to go out and change the world and change all of society and what everyone is thinking about feelings and all the things that you just talked about, Michelle. But we could actually change it in our own lives. That's where we do the work. That's where we do everything that we need to do. What do I believe and what do I want to believe is true for me? And always never at the harm of other people. That is the ethos that I live by. Never at the harm of someone else. But what do I believe and how do I want to live my life? As you said, Michelle, we have that right. No one's going to stop us. I can do whatever I want with my life. You know, I'm not saying that if I break a law, they're not going to put me in jail, but I'm saying if I don't want to believe that I can't have an aggressive feeling, or if I'm a man that I can't have a girly feeling, like you were saying, if I want to change that in my being and not believe it, I can do that. And I can live that way if I want to, regardless of what other people might think of me. Because as we say all the time on this show and in everything that we do in our work, no one and nothing has the power to name who you are ever. They may think that they do. They may act like they do. Government may, in all the world, may impose laws that thinking that they do, but they don't. And you can still live your life from the inside out, no matter what's happening on the outside world, even if it's hard. Just don't suppress who you are. And don't think that you don't have the power to change your own views in your own ways of living your own life.
Absolutely.
The outside world can't stop you. They can think that they can, and they can do all of the things. And yes, it'll feel like maybe they're trying to stop you. But if you actually live your life from the inside out, knowing that if you're just true to yourself, it will be okay. Maybe not in a way that other people think, or maybe not even the way that you would wish, but little by little by little, it becomes okay. Because nothing is worse for me in my life than denying how I feel, what I think, and trying to pretend like it's okay for me not to be in alignment with my own values and my own thoughts. I think everything in life changes and is impermanent except our own values. I value my values more than anything else in the world. No one is going to take my values that I have away from me. But everything else comes and goes. Everything else comes and goes. So what are your values? What are you feeling? And how can you start little by little every day living in alignment with those values and the feelings that you feel around those values? And how can that manifest, or how can you take action? I think that's what I was trying to say about anger and rage. My anger and rage is transformed into action in the world. mm-hmm. is transformed in the work that you and I do, transformed into the workshops and the talks that we give, transformed in all of the nonprofit work that we give toward helping people live their best life.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I take my anger and rage. I always then say, okay, Barb, now what can you do? What workshop can you write here to help people? What talk can you give to teenagers over at the university that's going to give them one thing that they can look at their lives and say, yes, this makes a difference for me. I understand now that I do matter.
Absolutely. But I think that that process of going from being completely disconnected from your feelings or shameful of your feelings or suppressing your feelings to someone like you who is so in tune and connected to them is a journey and it's a practice, you know, just like,
and can I say that?
Sure.
I was that person.
Right.
That's why I led with.
Yeah.
I suffered from bulimia for 7 years and so much sexual and emotional trauma as a child.
Disconnected you from your feelings.
Like the ultimate disconnection. The idea of ever feeling my feelings was not a possibility. So I want to say it's never too late. I'm just going to interrupt that. And I know right. That's where you're going with it, but I'm so happy you said this because I'm a person today at 60, almost 68 years old, who's passionate about feeling feelings. If you talk to me from age 1 or 2 to age 30 or 29, I would have said, hell no, don't feel your feelings. They're only going to cause you a problem. They're going to make you sad. They're only going to make you worse. Just keep moving forward. I would have been that person. I am the total opposite of that person.
Right. And you've had many years of practice.
Yes.
And this is just like with everything else that we talk about on the show, a practice. You know, if you've spent 30 years of your life ignoring your feelings or pushing them aside, you're not going to wake up tomorrow and be like, oh yeah, I'm all of a sudden someone that is super in tune with my feelings and this is totally normal. It's a process. And I think knowing that it's going to be uncomfortable sometimes, or maybe you might feel a little weird, or you might still have shame or embarrassment about your feelings. Like, I can record this whole episode and have this whole conversation, and intellectually, I know that there is no shame in feelings, that there is nothing wrong with me for having an emotional reaction to emotional things, but there is still something about me that does not like to be, I don't like when people see me cry. You know, like if I'm in a movie or if I'm watching a show and something makes me cry, like I'll, you know, try to hide my face and so people don't see it. So like, yeah, that's still going to be something that I work on, even though I have all of the thoughts that I've just expressed in the past 45 minutes. So if you're someone that really is just embarking on like, okay, how am I actually going to start to accept my feelings and feel my feelings and not have guilt around it, just know that it's not like a straight line and it's not a perfect process and it's messy. Feelings are messy because we live in a extremely messy world and we're having those human reactions to it all. And I think this is a great opportunity or situation for journaling, because oftentimes, you know, if you don't want to talk about your feelings to someone else or aren't sure where to go to express them, like a journal is a great place to do that, where you can just, you know, dump or share what's going on for you and have a place to express, you know, the thoughts or emotions or complicated aspects of your life on a page that will not judge you.
I love that so much. It's not a one and done. Nothing is a one and done in life, really. I mean, everything is an unfolding and a learning and a becoming. That's how I feel. You know, we get the idea, we understand something, we hear a quote from someone, we hear a story, you listen to this podcast and you say, okay, I want to start this journey, or, oh, this makes sense to me. I want to do this. And it's a, as you say, it's a journey. It's a process. everything in life. So you just take it one day at a time, one step at a time, and just trust that the more that you do it, the more it's going to be the natural groove that you're putting in the brain, and the more that it's going to feel a little bit more comfortable. And I think this is a perfect place, Michelle, for us to talk about, which I know we've talked about this quite a bit from time to time in this podcast, is what really revolutionized for me and for us when we started talking about it and using it in our work was Dr. Jill Bolte Taylors, a Harvard brain scientist who is
but also an Indiana University grad.
Yeah. That was the icing on the cake, I think, Michelle graduated.
Yeah, when
from
I found
Indiana.
That out, I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah, she's, I just as a side, I love the intersection. You know, when I first started meditating 40 years ago in treatment, it was not known anything. Yeah. You know, it came over here. Everybody knows it came over here to the United States with the Beatles. So, it was not known. And so it was only just like if you sit with yourself in quiet for a little bit and, you're going to start to, feel calm, or you're going to start to feel all the feelings. But there was no science behind any of it. There was no
studies.
Data, no studies, no data. And now there's so much that it makes it so much for someone like us, because you've been practicing for a really long time, for someone like the two of us, really the bedrock of our work is that idea of becoming your own best friend, sitting with yourself in quiet, knowing what you're feeling, knowing what's happening, being able to be in quiet with yourself and go deeper within and live your life from the inside out, all the things we talk about. Now there's science behind it, that if you do this, this happens for your health. That if you do this, this happens to your mind. So Jill Bolte Taylor, being a Harvard brain scientist, who literally in 1996, in the 90s, she was doing her postdoctoral work and all of that. We know so much about her at Harvard Medical School. She got her undergrad at Indiana University. And in 1996, December 10th, 1996, she had a massive stroke.
So at a young age.
She was in her 30s. Yeah. She was in her late 30s. She had a massive stroke. And being a brain scientist, she, prior to having this stroke, was going through all of this mapping of the brain to determine how the cells communicate with each other. She had done all of this work prior to having this massive stroke. So her personal experience, she literally then became, she was the brain scientist for the world. And at Harvard Medical School, she then became the brain scientist for her own life, for her own brain. And she spent 8 years mapping her own brain, looking at her own self, this massive stroke that she had, with her own personal experience and her 8-year recovery, and how it changed her life, and how she became, a New York Times bestseller with her book in 2006, My Stroke of Insight, A Brain Scientist's Personal Journey, her famous TED Talk, her most famous TED Talk, I think, of all TED Talks. But I think the biggest thing that came out of her work for me in reading about her and learning and studying her science about everything, the biggest thing is she actually was able to flesh this out and come up with this whole process that she identified with herself called the 90-second rule. She discovered with herself in looking at her stroke and how it all happened, was able to really be that scientist. She discovered, and MRI studies of the brain are showing this idea of emotional labeling, that if we can actually label the thoughts, which is what you and I are talking about on the show and we talk about in our lives, we actually can name what we're feeling in the moment, that emotional labeling that she discovered in her MRI studies of the brain, it actually calms the brain in that moment. It calms the brain region involved with the feelings or the angry outbursts that help us feel basically in control or feel centered.
And that actually it's only 90 seconds.
And that it's only 90 seconds. So we're
talking emotion about, can be identified and felt and moved past in 90 seconds if we allow it to.
If we allow it to.
Which is amazing, because I think so many of us view emotions as long, taxing, draining experiences.
Yeah.
And again, that's a practice, because we'll link information about her study in the show notes if you want to read more, because it is, processing and feeling the emotion without engaging with it, which is hard. So there is like some participation on our end in order for it to work. But it is...
It's a practice. Like
it's a practice, but it is wild to conceptualize that this is real and possible for us.
Well, it is... For me, if I were to list the 10 most important things that I've learned in my lifetime, this would be one of them. This has changed my life. And it is a practice, as everything is a practice. And it does take time. It takes patience. It takes understanding. It takes being okay with, well, it doesn't feel like it's working right now, and trust, so much trust. Because essentially this is what her work has done. And this is what she has discovered through her brain science, is that when we get triggered with a feeling, from the moment that you get triggered with a feeling, there is a, when we get a feeling, no matter what, we go to fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what she's discovered. And this is what I love so much, because I used to try to not go to fight or flight. I wanted to just go to calm. Well, no, the first triggering of the feeling in her research says you go to fight or flight. It stimulates that emotional circuitry in the brain that says fight or flight. Do I want to run from this? Or do I want to fight it? Or do I want to be with it? Basically is how I interpret the fight. I want to be with it. I'm going to stay here with this feeling. Or am I going to suppress it? It's one of those two when we feel a feeling, she has discovered in this research. And so that will trigger a physiological dumping, as she calls it, of, you know, usually it's anger, or usually it's something, she calls it a norepinephrine,
mm-hmm.
N-O-R-E-P-I-N-E-P-H-R-I-N-E, norepinephrine, or anger into the bloodstream. It's just, it will flush through us. It comes and it will flush through us, as she's discovered, in 90 seconds, which is what you were talking about, Michelle. 90 seconds. We can do anything for 90 seconds. So from that moment that you think the thought, or you get the feeling that triggers this whole cascade of events, she goes on to write, to the chemical flushing out of you, it takes less than 90 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing to me. And then she goes on to say, and as Michelle said, we'll link all this. And it's worth kind of internalizing it for yourself to kind of get the feel of what she's saying. In that 90 seconds, in that physiological response of you engaging in that 90 seconds, you'll feel better, because you've allowed this process to happen. You've allowed the feeling to be felt. And then she goes on to say, of course, you can always loop back in and re-stimulate the feeling, but if you just allow it to go through you, it dissipates. It takes 90 sets. The anger will dissipate. It doesn't mean it actually goes away. It gets to a place, this is what I've discovered in the practice that I do. It doesn't mean it actually goes away. It gets me to a calm place where then I can ask myself the question, what are you so angry about in this moment, Barb?
Mm-hmm.
What are you so overwhelmed about right now? What are you feeling about this overwhelm? What's at the root of this? Oh, you have too many things on your plate. You added too many meetings in your schedule today. Which one of these things is not necessary?
Yeah.
Because that's where your power comes. And this is what she's trying to say. This is, we don't have to just endure the punishment of overwhelm. You know, of feeling, oh no, I got to do it. Poor me. I'm going to just do this. No one, they won't like it if I cancel that meeting, or they won't like it. How about I call up and say, you know what? I need a break. I actually overscheduled. Could you look at your calendar and tell me when you could see me again, or when we could do this again? People love it when you're honest like that. I have noticed when I am honest and say, look, I just can't meet today, or could we please reschedule? I have never had someone say to me, no, we can't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. We're just not going to deal with you then.
Yeah.
You know, I think people love it when we're more human and more kind and more taking care of ourselves. So her 90-second rule,
yep.
Jill Bolte Taylor, for me has
game
been
changer.
Game changer, transformational.
Yeah. And it's, you know,
thank you for allowing me to indulge in that whole.
No, it's the epitome of everything we've talked about today.
Yeah.
That you can feel your feelings and process them and engage in healthy habits with our feelings. And it doesn't have to be a long, arduous process.
Yeah. If I could say one more thing we haven't talked about, are we running out of time?
You can go ahead.
Just wanted to say guilt. And we can talk. I think we should have an episode, or maybe we've already had an episode on guilt.
I believe
guilt,
we have.
For me, what I've discovered in my scientific brain in my life, guilt serves no useful function. And you wrote about this as well. If we can actually move through the guilt and get underneath what is making me feel guilty, for me, it's usually been remorse or sadness. So in that realm, I can actually deal with remorse and sadness and look at what do I need, what action do I need to take in dissipating those feelings of remorse or sadness. Guilt keeps me stuck. Guilt keeps me, poor me, I feel guilty. Instead of learning what it is that I need to learn, usually from the remorse or the sadness, it keeps me stuck. And then I don't take any actions whatsoever. And then I get into this pity party.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I do that? What's wrong with me? How could I have not thought about that? So it keeps me from moving forward and making choices and learning and becoming exactly who it is that I'm trying to be in this moment and move through the remorse or the sadness.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love Maya Angelou so much. Forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know before you knew better. That keeps me stuck in guilt when I don't forgive myself for not knowing what I didn't know before I knew better.
Exactly.
So thank you.
Powerful.
Thank you, everyone. I love you all so much.
Yes, we love you all.
Thank you for indulging another fabulous episode of our podcast. And thank you, Michelle, for being.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you for being you.
Yeah, let's all feel our feelings and not feel bad about it this week or starting this week. And let us know how it goes for you. And be gentle with yourself, obviously, in this process. It's a lot. We have a lot of feelings in a very complicated world. So just keep that in mind. And you don't have to feel your feelings perfectly too for it to have benefit. So that might be a benefit to you as well. So thank you everyone for listening, and thank you for being supporters of the show. We're so grateful for all of you. As always, if you haven't met yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you're always up to date with each new episode. Again, also give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave us a review if you haven't already. It's really helpful to us and to the show, and we appreciate it so, so much. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or a podcast topic request, make sure you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That's the best way to stay in touch. You can also check us out on Substack. I have a Substack, and so does our nonprofit, Peaceful Mind, Peaceful Life. The links are in our show notes. Thank you so much again for listening. We love you all. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's BARTESIAN.com/cocktail.